going to do. You are good, only good, and always good. You can be trusted at all times. And now we thank you for this service. We thank you for utterance in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to begin with a verse out of the book of Isaiah. And we're going to read Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the first part of the verse. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Now, what was so special that there had to be an announcement about this? Well, let me say this. When a child is born, you announce it. February 12th, 1951, my parents had their first child. That was my brother, Mike. And they made an announcement. Roy Vernon Rice Jr. and Erna Margaret Rice announced a child was born. A son was given. October 7th, 1964, they had their last child. That'd be me. And they announced, a child is born, a son is given. But it's not the same. What was so special that it had to be announced in the Bible? What was so special? Well, it's not just a child that was born. It is the child that was born. And he was spoken of long before. But we're going to go ahead and go back to Isaiah again, chapter 9 and verse 6, and we'll read that whole verse there. Let's go. Yeah, there we go. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." It talks much about him. Now let's go into the next verse, in verse 7 there. And it says, "His ruling authority will grow. His ruling authority will grow, and there will be no limit to the wholeness he brings." He'll rule from the historic David throne over the promised kingdom. He'll put that kingdom on a firm footing and keep it going, with fair dealing and right living beginning now and lasting always. The zeal of the God of the angel armies will do this. He was not just another child. He was the one who was spoken of long before. You can go all the way back to the book of Genesis in chapter 3, and it talks about him there. You can go into the 49th chapter, and it mentions him several other places, but in the 49th chapter it mentions him. When Jacob, same person, his name was changed. When he was speaking forth what was going to take place from the 12 tribes of Israel. And he spoke of the tribe of Judah, and he talked about Jesus there. You can see it. It talks about him being the root of David. It actually talks about him being both the seed of David and the root of David. That's a little odd, but without going into great detail, he was somebody special, beyond special. He's a one-of-a-kind, So whose birth was it that was really being announced? Well, in Isaiah chapter 7, just backing up two chapters, in verse 14. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, "All right then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." That's what it meant. So the one that was prophetically spoken of was going to be God coming from heaven to live with man. That's why we talk about him so much. That's why I say he is the child, not a child. He is the son, not a son. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God through him, but he is the Son, unique, the only one. And he is the one, well, we'll talk about as we go on why he came. But he was Emmanuel. God himself entered into his very own creation as a child. He came into the earth. as a child. It was prophetically spoken of, but humanity didn't quite grasp this. They did to some degree, but they didn't really grasp it until he came on the scene. Well, let's talk about who made this announcement. The announcement of Jesus' birth. The announcement of his birth, first and foremost, was announced by the Holy Spirit himself. And I want to look at this out of the book of Luke, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 32. It says, in Jerusalem at the time there was a man, Simeon by name, a good man, a man who lived in the prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him. Get this, the Holy Spirit had shown him that he would see the Messiah of God before he died. In other words, the Holy Spirit announced to this man, he's coming in your lifetime. He's coming in your lifetime. He's coming in your lifetime. Oh man, what a joyful thing for this man to hear. He's coming in your lifetime. Led by the Spirit, he entered the temple as the parents of the child Jesus brought him in to carry out the rituals of the law. Simeon took him into his arms and blessed God. God, you can now release your servant. Release me in peace as you promised. With my own eyes, I've seen your salvation. It's now out in the open for everyone to see, a God-revealing light to the non-Jewish nations and of glory for your people Israel. So the Holy Spirit announced this. The Holy Spirit announced this. And then we also see that angels announced that the Messiah was coming, that the Christ was coming, that Jesus was going to be born. The angels announced it, and we'll just look at three different instances where the angels announced it. In Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 35. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 35. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, if you don't know who Elizabeth is, that's John the Baptist's mother. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee. Now, let me say this. I don't care where you're from. I grew up in a town of 350 people. At least that's what it said on the sign. And I don't think there were 350 people there, and I'm sure there aren't now. Jennifer's oldest daughter lives there, and our two grandsons live there. And it does not matter where you're from. It does not matter how small and insignificant you think you are. God knows you. God knows your address. God knows your name. And God knows how to reach you. This was a little bitty town. Now, it was an important town. But it was, she was really a nobody. She was a nobody as far as the big, you know, the big picture comes in. And so Gabriel, now you understand, Gabriel is God's personal messenger angel. This is a message from God himself through this angel. And he goes to Nazareth, a city, or rather a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen?" She was not saying, "This cannot happen." She was saying, "How are you going to bring this about?" That's huge. We're not going to go into that today. But she was not questioning if this will happen. She was just asking, "How are you going to bring this about?" So, How can this be? I am a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. An angel announced to Mary. And then let's go over to Matthew chapter 1, and we'll look at another instance. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 23. And this is to Joseph. The birth of Jesus took place like this. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. Before they enjoyed their wedding night, Joseph discovered she was pregnant. It was by the Holy Spirit, but he didn't know that. Joseph, chagrined but noble, determined to take care of things quietly so Mary would not be disgraced. While he was trying to figure a way out, he had a dream. God's angel spoke in the dream, Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring a son to birth. And when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus. God saves, because he will save his people from their sins. This would bring the prophetic embryonic revelation to full term. Watch for this. A virgin will get pregnant and bear a son. They will name him Emmanuel. Hebrew for God is with us. So we see two instances right here where an angel spoke. Now we're going to see where another angel and then a whole host of angels speak. Why? Because this was the entrance of God Himself, the Creator and the Maker of all things, into what He made so that He could save His people from their sins. So let's go over and look at the account to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 17. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. That's a normal response. That's a normal response. It describes angels in the book of Psalms as exceeding us in strength. They are massive beings. So that's not an unusual response. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. There was a declaration. There was an announcement. And it wasn't just a sending out of cards. This was a sending out of the angelic host declaring, the Messiah is come. The Messiah has come. The Messiah is here. Oh my. What an announcement. What an announcement. Well, why then did Jesus come into the world? Why did he come into the world? This is the one who created it all, who made it all. Why would he come in? You know, it talks about in John chapter 1 that all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. It says he came unto his own. So he came into the world and came to humanity. But why? Why did he come? He came to save people. He came to save people. And when I say to save people, I mean to save us from our sins. To save us from our sins. Matthew 1, and verse 21. She will bring a son to birth, and when she does, you, Joseph, will name him what? Jesus? God saves. The word Jesus means God saves or Savior. You will name him this because he will save his people from their sins. Why is that such a big deal? Because sin results in death. It is eternal separation from God. And he came so that we may be eternally united to God. John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day, John, this is John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He had come. He had come. How then does he do this? How then does he bring salvation to humanity? He did this by dying in our place, by rising again from the dead, therefore defeating the devil, defeating sin, and death for those who receive the gift of Jesus the Christ as their personal Savior. That's how this comes about. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 11. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied, and because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he, this is talking about Jesus, will bear all their sins. That's why he came, folks. He didn't just come so that we have a sweet little story to tell in December, so that we could give gifts. He is the gift. We talk about the gift that keeps on giving. It's him. And then let's look at one more verse. In Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. And it says, Jesus was handed over to be crucified for the forgiveness of our sins. Now, when Jesus came into the earth, him being born into the earth wasn't enough. He had to come and finish the work. He had to come and finish the work. I'll talk about that here in just a moment. Jesus was handed over to be crucified for the forgiveness of our sins, and he was raised back to life to prove that he had made us right with God. The provision for your salvation, the provision for my salvation was taken care of, not when he was born into the earth, but as he was living a perfect life, as he was facing all the temptations of this life, he qualified to be the perfect Savior. He is a substitute and a sacrifice. A substitute in that he took my place, and a sacrifice in that he died for me. A substitute in that he took your place, and a sacrifice if you receive it. He came for that purpose. The greatest gift ever given. Jesus, the Son of God, coming to earth, living a perfect life, dying a perfect sacrificial and substitutionary death so that we might have eternal life. Open up the Word of God today and tomorrow and in the future. It was foretold centuries ago that Jesus was going to come. It was announced by angels, by the Holy Spirit himself, and it will be revealed to you in the same way. Not angels necessarily, but by the Spirit of God. And he will show you in the Word, Jesus came. He will show you in the Word, Jesus died. He will show you in the Word, Jesus even went to hell. You say, how can you prove that? I can prove that because in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, it says he holds the keys of death and hell, which means he went and took them from the devil. He won the victory for us. It's up to you if you're going to receive that or not. We have a part to play. And the part to play is to bow in submission to Him as Lord and Savior. Open up to Him, and it will be revealed to you who He is. He came for this purpose, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. He came for this purpose to save us from our sins. He came for this purpose to destroy the works of the devil. He came for this purpose to make us right with God. Are you right with God? Are you right with God? I can lift both hands and say I'm right with God. Not because I did something special, but because He did.
Yes.
And the question is, are you? Are you ready to meet Him? Because I am. Are you ready for eternity? Because I am. And you can be ready too. All you have to do is ask Him, Jesus, be my Lord. I know You died for me. I know You rose from the dead for me. And I believe You're the Son of God. Be my Savior. That's all it takes, and bang, you're born again. You go from darkness to light, from being a child of the devil. Yes, you were a child of the devil, and so was I, to a child of God. You went from darkness to light, from one kingdom to another. You became a new creature when you got born again. And it is the most amazing, amazing thing. But this is the day that we celebrate His coming into the earth. Amen?
Amen.
See, I did keep it short. I'm going to ask this at this time, if my wife would come, and we're going to sing Silent Night, and we're going to close the service out by singing Silent Night. Ricky, could you get the light back there for me?
I'll stand.
You don't know how these work? Turn.
Yeah, just turn the knob. Much better.
Yes.
facing every temptation and winning. Thank you for dying the perfect death, for rising in that perfect resurrection, for giving us eternal life, resurrection life. Oh, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. You are good, only good and always good. And we lift up holy hands before you without wrath, without doubting, and we praise our God in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Have your way. Have your way in us. Have your way with us. And have your way through us. Oh God, I thank you that you guard us. You are our shield, our strong tower, our place of refuge, and even our rear guard. As we go forth, you guide us. And when you guide us, you keep us. And when you keep us, none can remove us from your hand. We thank you that we are safe. And God, I thank you for the destinations that you have set up for us. We walk the steps that you have for us to walk. And as we do, we go in victory upon victory upon victory upon victory upon victory upon victory upon victory. For that is the life that you've called us to. You lead us. And as you do, there is victory. Now, Lord, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. And make sure and blow out your candles. Amen.